I'm Peg Orkutundum, and we're here in Seattle at the SPUC, that's the Society for Pediatric Urgent Care's third annual meeting. We have almost 150 attendees here, and a few of them are even from outside the United States. So I'm lucky to be sitting here speaking with Dr. Kira Martin and Clinical Nurse Manager Yvonne Doyle, who are from Dublin, Ireland. And they're going to be in the, well, they are in the process of building the first pediatric urgent care in Dublin. So I've asked them to come and tell us first a little bit about their hospital and their proposals.
Thank you. My name is Kira, and I'm delighted to be here. You've made us all very welcome and very happy to talk to you about our plans. We work in Dublin. We have three children's hospitals, seeing children each have emergency departments, and about 10 years ago it was evident that we needed to develop a better service for children. So since then, with a lot of politics and other things behind it, the decision has been to build one children's hospital. It's going to be located on the grounds of one of our biggest university adult hospitals, and we are going to have two urgent care centres. So they were located in areas of high need, high population density and deprivation, so low economic status as well, to improve access. So one of our main tenets for setting up all of our service is safe care that's as close to home as possible. Our urgent care centres will have a pediatric urgent care department like you have here, planning to open it at 8 in the morning till midnight.
Long hours, okay.
Yeah, we're going to see patients from 8 until 8 p.m. And then we've let ourselves kind of a washout period to see can we get patients off site. And just while we start, we may be able to improve that as our efficiency improves. Also in those centers, we'll have outpatients for children. So we're trying to improve access for general pediatric outpatients, fracture clinics, so they'll be located on the site too. So
now, do your patients have a what we call a medical home? In other words, do pediatric patients have a primary pediatrician that they're assigned to?
Yeah, we have, and I'll let Yvonne come in a minute. We don't. What we have are family practitioners, emergency departments, and specialists.
Oh.
So we have a very different system that we recognize is not good for pediatrics. So part of what we're doing for the last couple of years, and we're about 12 months from opening our first door to our urgent care center, is to improve general pediatric access, to increase our number of general pediatricians, to provide that layer of primary pediatrics, though it will be in a hospital or an urgent care center, and to improve access for emergency and urgent care.
So how do you think you'll define your scope of practice?
So the scope of practice is to improve, obviously to improve self-care for families, to get them looking after their own health. We want to have better links with the community and primary care. Our own scope of practice will be within urgent care, is to see whatever child that comes in. We have a lot of work to do with our, we call them GP, general practitioners, family practitioners, to improve the message that's out there. Our own general practitioners, do their amount of pediatric training they do now has been reduced steadily over the years. There's only 4 months of pediatric training to be a family practitioner, and we can see that in the numbers that come in to us. They're referred day on day.
So you won't just be necessarily looking at trauma, cuts and bruises, colds and runny noses, you'll be doing actually some primary care just because of the need?
I think we would rather not. We are going to do minor illness and minor injury. So we know within pediatrics it's not enough to just be a minor injury unit like they can set up in adults, but it'll be minor illnesses and minor injuries. Ideally what can be seen and treated within the urgent care and gets home within 4 hours.
So your payer model is different. In the United States, we have thousands, literally, of insurance companies and different plans and different negotiations. Tell me how it works for you folks.
Well, for us, we have a national, what it's called, a health service executive, or it's a Department of Health. So everybody is entitled to free healthcare, no matter what your financial level is at. But there is also an ever-growing private healthcare market as well. So if somebody presents to the urgent care centre, they can have a medical card, which means they don't pay at all, and they're assessed from that by the government. And then you will have other people who will come, and they will pay a fee. It's usually €100, which is about $85-90, and they will then pay that, and they can be seen then. If they've already been to their GP and they present with a GP letter, because they will have paid to see their GP, then they don't have to pay again at the urgent care centre.
Oh, that's interesting.
And if you have been to the GP or an urgent care centre a number of times in the year, you can then claim that back in tax at the end of each year.
Mm-hmm.
And then we still have people who will come and they'll have private cover, but the private cover really is more related to inpatient care than it is to urgent care.
True.
Oh.
And then if you're admitted from urgent care, from emergency department, you don't pay anything more.
That is pretty much 180 degrees from the way the way things happen here. That's fascinating. That's a showstopper right there. So how do you plan to staff in terms of the numbers and the type of providers that you're...
So from a nursing perspective, we're doing a huge amount of work at the moment with regard to advanced nurse practitioners. And then there will be within the urgent care centre, there will be a urgent care and outpatient manager who may or may not be a nurse. They could be an allied health professional either, but they need to have a clinical background. There'll be a clinical manager like myself. There'll be shift leaders who are paid at a different grade. And then we'll have our staff nurses and our healthcare assistants. And then there'll be the other allied health professionals, but who will be based then within the outpatient department. We're looking roughly about 22-23 staff to start off with, but there's a lot of negotiation about that at the moment. As we were leaving, they were in negotiations with the unions with regard to the staffing levels.
And what about the providers, the physicians?
I'll leave that for Kira.
So we're hoping to model it so we have one. We're going to have, for the moment, it'll be somebody who has pediatric emergency experience. So we'll have one consultant that will be our highest level of provider, and supported by advanced nurse practitioner. And at home in Ireland, the advanced nurse practitioner will work independently, doesn't need co-signing of any patients before they're discharged. And we will have a registrar, which would be a high level resident here. I think I'm quite sure of the grading, but someone probably in the last year of their
so a registrar is a graduated medical school
graduated,
and they're
correct.
They're in training.
They're in training, so they'd be about year five or thereabouts of their training. So that is our hope. I mean, listening over the last couple of days, it's clear to me that what we need to go back is really get the message across as to what urgent care is. It's that these patients have to be seen in and out within 20 minutes, you know, to make, or well, give or take, if possible, to make urgent care effective.
I think that's certainly the 20 to 30 minutes the provider encounter,
yeah.
It's and the different parts of the provider
correct.
Encounter. But do you think those will be the expectations of your families? Or they don't know what to expect,
they don't
perhaps?
They don't.
I don't think they do know yet. And I think part of the success or the failure of the urgent care centre will be the communication pre. And so when somebody turns up and they'll know, oh no, I really should be in the emergency department, I really shouldn't be in the urgent care. And I think if we don't get that, we need to get that message out across the whole city as to these are the types of things that, you know, if your child fits this criteria, then absolutely come to the urgent care centre. If they don't, go to the main emergency department.
Sure, and we won't have ambulances coming to the urgent care centre. But, you know, our staff will need, we need to work with our staff because we've all grown up in a system where it's almost acceptable to have patients, because we're emergency background, who sit in the department for 4, 5, 6 hours. I know you're making a face, and really, I mean, this is what's going to make the urgent care work. This is what's going to make people want to come back, is that you come in, you get seen, you get your pain relief, you're treated, your cast is on, or your splint in your home, and you come back the next day or 2 days later to see your orthopedic person in the same place.
Wow, that'll be, but I think that will be awesome. Mm-hmm. It's, I'm excited that we can maybe export a little bit of our expertise. So anything else we can offer you all?
I have visited a couple of urgent care centers. Generally, my children laugh at me when we go on holidays anywhere. I go visit local hospitals, I make contact and go in. So I've been to urgent care centers in Cincinnati and here in Seattle as well, and I was so impressed with the providers and the staff and their attitude to how they work and get people kind of through, and how much patient satisfaction there is and how much trust in the system. And one of our issues is that trust in the system. I know it works. Yvonne here knows it works. But we have a lot of work to do, and that's where hopefully you'll help us too, in convincing our colleagues, mm-hmm. our pediatric colleagues, our anaesthetic colleagues, our anaesthetists and our intensivists are very unhappy with the fact that we will see children in a centre that they're not attached to, that they're not
They're having a little
upstairs.
Trouble letting go, are they?
They yeah. are, they are. Now we work, Yvonne and myself, our day-to-day work is in a department in a hospital that doesn't have a pediatric ICU, so we're more familiar with stabilizing and transferring our emergencies, but the other hospitals aren't, and the intensivists are they're just
struggling
with the concept.
Yeah, well, I have to say that, you know, my colleagues here are so excited that you are joining us, and that we're really excited about the opportunity that we've had with you joining us here to share our model, and we hope you'll come back next year. And we wish you every success in the world. So thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's been our pleasure. Thank you.